The gospel reading, excuse me. The gospel reading is found in Matthew chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I like to think of our 40-day season of Lent as a kind of wilderness time when our relationship with God is tested and nourished. In spite of its negative sound, temptation may be a good thing. It makes us stronger. It's a necessary part of our spiritual growth. Notice that in the gospel reading, it says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. God does test our faith. In the Bible, the wilderness was a metaphor of the places where people's faith was tested. We think of the years of the Israelite people who spent 40 years, not 40 days, 40 years wandering in the wilderness to be tested. There is a passage in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament which is quoted by Jesus in today's gospel reading. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." In our first reading from the book of Genesis, we have this first test of humanity to live within the limits that God had set. This ancient story that tells how human beings were created to enjoy life by maintaining a relationship of trust and obedience to God is followed by the human creature's decision to disobey the rules of God. God gave these human creatures a lush garden to live in and to care for with a lot of freedom. You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but with one exception: of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. It was a test of obedience to live within the limits that God had set. The Garden of Eden was a place of plenty. Food hung from the trees, freely available to be picked and enjoyed. And though humans were expected to work the ground and care for the garden, this wasn't a sentence to live in a confined labor camp. It was a joy. Work was good. Using the energies and the talents that God had given his children. But the garden also had its rules. God placed a forbidden tree in the midst of the garden, a kind of temptation or test. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the one thing that humans were commanded to stay away from. And yet, first, at the first available opportunity, they crossed the line. And why? Because they wanted to be like God. And so do we. We like to be in control and have power and be rich and make the rules. Let me try to illustrate. We want to be able to have some light when the sun goes down. So we discover electricity and invent the light bulb. We flip a switch and there's light. That's amazing. Just a few generations ago, that would have been a fantasy. Or we want to travel long distances in a short time. We learned how to fly. First planes with propellers and then with jet engines. Across the continent, around the world. In just a matter of hours. I wonder whether God intended us to do that. Or we dreamed of being able to communicate with anyone and anywhere in the world. And now we have achieved that with the internet and mobile phones and all that. But for most of history, that was just a fantasy. Electricity, air travel, cell phones. Those things may have been considered a kind of birthright. Generations before us would probably agree that anyone who could create light or travel across the continent in a few hours or communicate with someone around the world must be like God. But like the very first humans, even though we have all of these advances, we are far from divine. We are still human. But we keep pushing the boundaries. Our advances are awesome. But they often come with a cost. Scientists tell us that our use of energy and other human activity is causing global warming. And that we may have to deal with more drought in some places and more storms and floods in other places. Huge corporations form to take control of our natural resources and produce our goods. There is the temptation to put profit over protecting the world. Our air becomes polluted. Our water is poisoned with chemicals and oil spills. And we don't even want to think about the temptation of using the stockpiled weapons of mass destruction that could completely wipe out human civilization as we know it. The temptation is always there to push the limits too far and claim that the world belongs to us and not to God. So I'm grateful for Jesus, the human who is fully divine, who chose to accept his human limitations and be obedient to the Father in heaven. The devil said, "Why not create food from stones? Defy the laws of gravity. Claim all the riches of the world. Be like God." The Word of God made flesh said no. No. and know again. I wonder what Jesus would say today if we offered him a genetically altered tomato or an airline ticket nonstop to Japan or a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. We all know the temptations of pushing the boundaries to achieve our success and gain popularity and secure power. Going back to our childhood, our mother tells us that the chocolate chip cookies she's just baked are for later. But what we do, but we climb up on the counter and take a few to satisfy our craving. We get caught and we get sent to our room. Or when we're a little older, we're told to be in by midnight. Our friends have until 1 a.m. We figure mom and dad will be asleep, so we slip quietly in the back door, but we're met by our father or mother who's waiting for us, and we get grounded for a week. We also meet temptation in very small ways, turning off the alarm and going back to sleep when we know we have something important to do, maybe even go to church on a cold winter morning. We take a second dessert if we're trying to stay on a diet. We curse idiot drivers who cut us off in the traffic. We don't speak up when we see something wrong. That's why Jesus taught us, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So maybe Lent is as good a time as any to resolve some and to resolve to do some things that would help us to listen more to God. I think there is some meaning in the fact that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was willing to forego some of his own physical comforts in order to pay attention to his Father in heaven. Some Christians practice fasting, refraining from food during certain periods of time, or giving up chocolate or dessert or coffee. Now, Jesus didn't fast to lower his cholesterol or lose some weight. So maybe instead of giving up dessert or wine for Lent, we should give up things like anger and jealousy and swearing and holding grudges. Maybe we could make some wilderness time by just being less busy. I know that's hard for all of us, but maybe we need to slow down. I understand that some people observed a national day of unplugging from sundown on Friday until sundown yesterday to encourage people to disconnect from their smartphones and tablets, to connect face-to-face with their neighbors, to enjoy an uninterrupted meal, or to read a book to a child. What would you be willing to give up during Lent so that you can give more attention to God? Giving 15 minutes every day, reading the Bible or a devotional book, or just being quiet. And how much time do we leave empty to respond to those unforeseen calls to help a neighbor or make a 5-minute phone call to someone who needs some cheering up? And think about all the things we accumulate that clutter our lives, to which we give all too much attention, the material things. We all have too much stuff. And for what? To make our lives more secure? Lent might be a good time to do some house cleaning, emptying some of our closets or basements or attics or garages. We call it spring cleaning, but it might also be a spiritual exercise, acknowledging that we really don't need all this stuff. We just need more of God. The tempter wanted Jesus to throw off his human nature, to be powerful, to be prosperous, to show how he could do so many wonderful things, God-like things. But Jesus' desire was to be obedient, the Son of Man, to God. He confirmed that he was God's beloved Son. And so are we. We are the beloved children of God. We gather here today for a wilderness moment to allow God to fill us through word and sacrament. We're invited to that same communion that Jesus had with his Father in heaven. We are here to receive the body and blood of Christ. Let me end with this thought from the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.